find and review with Wines Direct, breaking the mold of traditional wine retailers with their own unique flair, genuine passion and enthusiasm. WinesDirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
There we go. There was a slight little delay with the on button, but the on button now works.
Well done.
Yes. By the way, those voices you hear in the background are the crew of Wines Direct and also our highly paid...
highly revered just, reviewer.
Just bought a new shiny BMW.
Yes, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, on one of the dinky ones.
Yeah. Well, we'd like to keep it real here, Will, to be fair.
Yes, indeed. What are we starting with today, guys? And I should give you proper introductions, of course. Gavin Keogh, Gareth Keogh.
Good morning.
From winesdirect.ie. We're in great form.
Excellent, excellent.
So what we got today, it is Andreas Bender. We're off to the Moselle, we're off to Germany, and we're off to I Love Moselle, which is a wine that's actually made for if you work and live in the Moselle. And the other one is a Pinot Noir from Faust, made by a young winemaker called Andreas Bender.
Excellent. So Moselle, not to be confused with Mosul. That was a place in Iraq once upon a time.
Yeah, that was... That
in
was
the news for very bad reasons.
It's very different. This is a sort of corkscrew river that comes that goes into Luxembourg as well. So, but we'll talk...
We're going to taste this and see what you think. So I think really, when you're looking at kind of wines, there's so many different wines around, and this actually has sweetness to it. So this is kind of unusual.
That was a question we received earlier from a listener. I'm not sure if you heard. And they were asking about whites, and they find some whites to be bitter, and they love the fruitiness.
Yeah.
So
lots of people, when they're talking about whites and red wines, and they kind of say, oh, I want something to be sweet. And when they're talking about, in our language, that's this kind of, you know, fruit sweetness. So, for example, New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc is fruit sweet. It's got lots of tropical fruit. This is actually residual sugar sweet. So there is a sweetness to it as well. So it can, traditionally within Germany, actually, this is drunk as an aperitif, and then beer is part of the main course. So this is drunk before wine. So it actually is something that can work without food or with something sweet. Like, lots of people, I remember years ago, being in our shop in Mullingar, before we had the one that we have in Athlone, plug, and my dad, who's dead a couple of years now, was with us, and I was chatting to a couple, and they were kind of buying this kind of, they're buying wine, and I kind of mentioned that, like, oh, look, it's great for sitting down watching a movie with this, whatever. And my dad was kind of like, we don't do that. I was like, no, that's how you drink wine, and how I drink wine is this way. I think I've said that before, but this is one, like, for me, this is one that you can actually have a little bit of chocolate with. You can just have it by yourself. You know, kind of, you can have it in front of the fire. So it's a lot different to a lot of those. So for somebody who's kind of saying, I'd like to drink some white wine, but I like something that's a bit sweeter, and I want sweetness, and they're coming from that. This is absolutely ideal. It's called Isle of Mosel, and it's only 11.5% alcohol.
Can we talk about the bottle? Sorry to distract you on the wine.
I love that bottle.
The bottle, for those of you not in there, is this. He just tattooed arm with Isle of Mosel on it, Riesling. And the reason why it's there is Andreas is a young winemaker who makes wine in a very traditional way, and says the only thing that you can do that's not traditional is the labels. So labels are always can be artistic or kind of look quite funky, for want of a better word. This Moselle, just to give people an example, said it's sort of like corkscrew river that goes right into Luxembourg. All of this has to be hand harvested because everything's on about a 35 degree angle, and it's all slate. So it has to be hand harvested, and that's a big problem with having the Moselle, because he's got about 35 hectares on the Moselle now. And the reason why he's got able to get 35 hectares is because nobody wants to farm there anymore.
It's too difficult.
It's people in their 70s and 80s actually have these lands, half hectare here, a hectare here, and their kids have gone to the cities to work. It's a lot easier. And also it's very hard to get people to actually work the vines because they're right beside Luxembourg. Luxembourg, for everyone who was ever there, is tax-free. So if you pay somebody 20 quid in Luxembourg, they get 20 quid in their hand. If they pay somebody 20 quid in Germany, they get 10 quid in their hand. So it's a real problem trying to get people to actually work the vines as well. So it's very famous, but it's in a little bit of trouble. But he definitely is a young winemaker that's
when we say young, to be honest with you, like, we still
he's in his 40s.
Young, you know.
Your 40s is young.
Yes, thank you for redrawing the demographic that, yes, we are still young.
Yeah, but it's such a subjective thing. And I had this conversation the other day. Like, people in their 70s today are like people in their 50s back in the 80s. Do you know what I mean? It's a brand new day in terms of age. You know, like, I'm in my 40s now. In my head, I'm in my 20s. And sometimes I have to reason with myself, no, you're actually in your 40s. I'm like, how did that happen? I don't feel it.
Your knees tell you. That's what happens. Your knees tell you.
Well, there is that aspect, but I certainly think in terms of spirit and how people live their lives. I think age is not becoming a barrier anymore.
Well, if I look back, so we kind of got some photographs there recently in our family. So my aunt was selling her house and lots of family photographs of myself and my brother with her grandparents. And they would have been the age that my mum is now. So my mum's 74.
Mm-hmm. But she loved that you said
that. Oh, yeah. No, she's don't worry. She's away on holidays because that's what she does.
So look at the stain.
You can hear this again.
No, it won't be. No,
in the podcast section of Midlands103.com.
Which is wonderful, but she needs me to show her how to do it, so it's never going to happen. But basically, I looked at the photograph and I went, God, you know, that particular photograph there from me when I was a kid is the same age person with my grandmother as is my mother now. But my mother is much, much, much younger now in spirit and in visual, and also is out playing golf, out walking. It's like, you know, kind of like, I rang, I was like, oh, do you want to come for dinner? It's like, oh, I'll just check.
I'm
like,
I think that was a decent save, do you?
Thank you.
But anyway, back to the wine quickly. So I said, we're in the Mosel, so it's Riesling, it's on the slope. But this is actually done, it's called I Love Mosel because this is the way they actually like drinking it on the river. If you go to a farmer's house, this is exactly what you drink. It is slightly, if you put your nose into it, it's quite tropical fruit.
But it is, if you have a sweet tooth,
it is
a treat.
And that's exactly, it's a lower alcohol and everything. And the reason why they do this is that they stop the fermentation because a lot of the grape has got a lot of sugar in it and that turns into alcohol. So this is what happened here. The alcohol hasn't really fully gone. The sugar hasn't been fully fermented into alcohol. So it's lower in alcohol, 11.5%, and you get a lovely bit of sweetness, but great acidity. It's not just sweet wine; you get great crispness as well. So it's very
delicious,
easy.
Really is delicious.
And it's interesting that it steps away from the idea of when you think of, well, I know when I think of wine, I think just a meal.
Yeah.
Like there is that kind of correlation, going for a meal, you have the wine. But like you said, just to sit and sip this by the fire.
Absolutely.
Do you know? And it smells like Christmas to me, by the way.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does.
Almost
it's
festive.
It's so tart or something. There's a tartness
to it.
It's very pleasing to the nose. I don't know what it's like to the palate.
It is.
Well, the litmus test is whether the glass is returned back across the table to be emptied. And this is taking up residence here.
Amazing.
But strangely, when you say you talk about food, like this is a perfect wine to actually have a curry. Because especially the spiciness, the sweetness comes in, and then you've got the acidity just clears out as well.
Yeah.
So like a spicy curry or something like that, this would be absolutely perfect with.
Yeah, and I'd say
pineapple and curry.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, but and that will work really well.
Yeah, and I think if you had this with something as savoury as a curry, you're going to be less likely to go for dessert, because really you're getting all that flavor profile you'll need.
Yeah.
Because you know, if you have something really savoury and there's no sweet element, you're like, oh no, I need a brownie. Mm.
This is liquid dessert.
Liquid dessert, it's really...
You've coined a new phrase.
Liquid dessert.
Amazing.
So let's take a listen as we explore something to watch on the box while you're enjoying your wine. Wilderness.
If you'd have seen us, you'd have hated us. This perfect, happy couple. Charming husband. Loving wife. Finally, I could just be me. That was my mistake.
It's the trip of a lifetime.
Well?
Are you going to introduce us? What brings you here? Same thing as you, I guess. Nature, fresh air.
You've got to admit. It was the perfect place for an accident.
Ooh, that's rather sinister at the end. So what's going on?
Seductively sinister. So, okay, this is a hard one not to spoil. I'll be honest. So my review is going to be very bland, for want of a better word, unlike the wine. But it is your classic tale of, you know, the perfect couple, the amazing life. It's in New York. And... sorry, guys, but you know the way sometimes wives find things on phones?
No.
Statistically, I mean, it's up there. But so she finds something on his phone and then a whole thing transpires that I can't really tell you too much about. But he's been playing away from home in the office, and the wife is kind of playing a long game here. But or is she? This is the thing. Is she though? And so every episode you're kind of like, oh, this is it. No, it's not. It's like, oh, she's going back. No, no, she's not. Oh, she's forgiven. No, she's not. So it keeps you on the edge of your seat that way. I have to say, unlike The Bear, character-wise, you kind of get fed up of a couple of them. Like at one stage, I was with the husband. I was like, just divorce him already. Mm-hmm. Forget about anything else. Just divorce him and move on.
It's kind of a beautiful people cast as well.
And it is. And that to me is so boring. Unlike The Bear, The Bear had that interesting kind of aesthetic to it, that it's not the cookie cutter. And she is so, and now she is beautiful.
With a perfect life.
With a perfect life until.
But are you kind of secretly delighted that it's all going to pot? Like, you know,
that's interesting.
You know, if you see these kind of this perfect life, you're just kind of going like, ah, do you know what?
Yeah.
I hope it goes badly for you.
Now we have some character insight here.
Yeah. Well, that's dark.
It is dark and I like it. But I can say I found myself there with her because she's your typical Jane Austen British. You know, and you're kind of like, oh man. And who he cheats with is your typical cookie cutter kind of Barbie, what you would expect he cheated with. Very cliche, not very real. Do you know what I mean? So you're kind of like, no, I was like, oh, just pack up, girl, and go home. You've got money, you've got the looks, you've got the career. Go home, be done with it. But it wouldn't have been as interesting. Do you know, there would have been no show. So it's like, well, let's not do that. But, yeah, I'd like for me
just
to 7
out of 10.
Just on the
premise, though, on the premise, it's a bit like Designated Survivor. It sounds like there's one season of good stuff in it. Yeah. I presume it's not going beyond that.
I would imagine not, and I'd nearly hope not. I doubt I'd watch a second season. And that is unusual for me, because you'd be left on the edge of your seat going, I need more of this, like with The Bear. And I was just so lucky with The Bear that I had 2 seasons to binge. You know, I got in on it late, you know, and that's wonderful. But with this, I'm like, oh, we're done. Okay, thank God that's over. But you get invested enough to want to see the last one. I didn't abandon it.
Yeah.
So, listen, if you like Desperate Housewives and if you like You, remember You with the Joe guy?
Yes, I do, yes. The guy from Gossip Girl.
I've never seen
just,
that.
No, God. Just, yes, I watched You. And You, for me, was just this, okay, I totally see. And yeah, you kind of murdered a couple of people. Not really agreeing with that, but the whole thing, and then the premise, like, he gets obsessed by somebody else. You're like, oh, dude, you just really need to.
Yeah.
When everybody in the, when you say everybody in the room is wrong, except for You, which he did in You, and then you see season that actually it's just him. It's
but I think it showcased psychopathy really well.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I've killed a few people, but I'm a changed man now that I've met her. You know.
Do you find that you actually have a bad series? Because I'm like that. I have to go to the end, you know, no matter how bad it is.
I very rarely abandon them. To be honest, I get invested even just to see if it gets better. Do you know, I'm that person.
I'm going to say something controversial.
I love a bit of controversy.
The Morning Show.
Yes.
The more recent season of The Morning Show, I found myself going, I have other things to do with my life.
I did that mid-season too.
Yeah.
And I haven't finished it. So there you go.
Yeah.
I do abandon. Because season one was amazing and it was the best finale I think I've ever
Absolutely.
Seen. And it was panic-stricken. Mm. You know, everything, there's this massive crescendo and you're like, I need more. And then season two started and you're like, what?
I was like that with House of Cards, but not until season 6.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You got a good run.
I was like that with House of Cards at the start. I started watching it and said, oh, everyone says it's great. Don't get it. Didn't like Kevin Spacey. I remember the original one on BBC. Old. That a Francis Urquhart in it. That my wife, I tried to show it to my wife. She said it was really camp, so she wouldn't watch it. It was just completely unbelievable. It was just like, and also all the characters were awful. There's no one for you. You at least want to root for somebody.
You will not like Wilderness. Okay. I can tell you that right now, because there's not really any characters that you're going to love. And yeah, you find yourself going, that's not really believable. Would somebody do that?
I'd just like to point out that for kind of believability, both myself and my brother love Star Trek, Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica. So
but that's
believable,
fantasy.
You know?
Yeah.
Ah, we are kindred spirits. Yeah. We
you
are
see,
kindred
and I'm a
spirit.
Sci-fi, like I'm allergic to it. So I don't get that, but I get the fact that you can. That's a disassociation exercise, isn't it? It's complete fantasy. It's escapism. Mm. It's not meant to make sense. In fact, if it starts to make sense, you're like, this doesn't make sense.
You mean the force isn't real?
The force isn't real.
I never said that.
The force is definitely.
You didn't hear that in Midlands 103.
No, but you know, sometimes fact is stranger than fiction, which brings us on to our next series and our next wine after these.
Rewind and review with Wines Direct. Breaking the mold of traditional wine retailers with their own unique flair, genuine passion and enthusiasm. WinesDirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
And we're moving on to something a bit warmer, I suppose, as the temperatures come down and winter sets in. So what's our red for today,
so,
guys?
So the red is Pinot Noir, again from Andreas Bender, but instead of being on the Moselle, we're going further south to Phelps. Pinot Noir is a very thin-skinned grape, so when you actually look at it, it's quite translucent. You can almost see through it. But this is actually a really interesting wine because I'd say about 15 years ago, you wouldn't really be drinking Pinot Noir from here. The reason why is too cool. It wouldn't get really warm enough to actually ripen, but not so much a problem anymore. Things are getting a lot warmer. With that, it gets properly ripened, and you get a bit of smoky bacon off it. You get cherry off it. You get all the sort of like wonderful things. It's the perfect wine for somebody saying, "Well, what do people like?" It's sort of like straight down the middle. It pleases everybody.
I suppose it's for somebody who's red curious.
Red curious.
Another new coined phrase. You heard it here first.
And again, going back to Andreas Bender, he said actual grape is called Spätburgunder, which is Pinot Noir. But he said, I changed it. I said, why change it? Because nobody outside of Germany knows what Spätburgunder is or how to spell it. So as a result, but it's 12 months in oak, very old oak barrels that he got from the 1960s. And he said the government were trying to set up a winery and they completely mucked it up. And as a result, he bought their barrels. He said, the government, in his view, around the area should not be making wine because whatever they do, they spend a lot of money and then they pull out in a few years' time.
Great opportunity for the private sector, but
it is definitely for him because he got great barrels for next to nothing.
And can I ask the novice question? So why does the age of the barrel matter?
A age of barrel, because you're talking about taste transference. So you get a new barrel, you put your head into it, that's exactly what you smell, is the new barrel. And with that, you get the new barrel will actually, the taste from the new barrel, and for example, Rioja from Spain, a lot of people would have drunk that and would have Crianza. And that oak barrel would be like a taste of vanilla, coffee, smokiness, spice, all that sort of stuff. I would start to get into the wine. And that's where the taste transfers. These barrels are so old that they have no taste transference whatsoever, and it's just about giving just a little bit of evolution in because they just have a tiny little porous nature, so a little bit of oxygen contact, and it just ages
the wine around them, really.
Exactly, kind of aging around
the whole thing. I suppose kind of a lot of people when you look at the science of wine, there's certain things that kind of happen. Like there's a great producer that we deal with, Luc Lepère, and he has in his Chez this gigantic Burgundy barrique that he runs his wine through. And I remember asking him on stage, what happens here? He goes, I run my wine through and it tastes better. And I said, okay, it's great, right in my nose. And why? He's like, because it does.
That's okay, great.
Yeah.
He does everything by taste.
Just as a point of view as well on this, these both wines here, so the Bender wines, they all have Moselle, and the Pinot Noir are both available for $18.50 in our store on Magazine Road in Athlone, and on our store in Mullingar in Loch Sheaffer, which, yes, is a shop. For anybody who's in Mullingar and does not realise that there is a shop that is open to the public in Mullingar, it is there.
And wherever you may be at winesdirect.ie.
Absolutely. Now, the other side of this as well, kind of, we were only kind of talking about this in the last kind of couple of days. So many people are kind of saying, I love to try wine, but I don't know what to try. So we have something that can be done as well. We can send you 3 or 6 bottles every month. We have a program called the Explorers by Wines Direct. So we can send you 3 or 6 bottles every month. If you only drink red or you only drink white, or you like to drink mixed, or you like to change it around, we can send you that. That's available from our website, starting at €65. my marketing manager is going to kill me if I've gotten that price wrong, but howsoever, so that's available as well. So if you are somebody who kind of says, look, I really would like to like wine, but I don't know where to start, this is a really, really good way of actually getting to try wine. Because how often do you find yourself going to a shelf and going, okay, I don't know what that is, that I recognize that label, I'll take that, and you come home and you go, oh, I'm just mildly disappointed, or it's grand. Hmm. This way you get to try something, or with us, it's always brilliant, of course.
Or there are tastings available in a...
Oh, yeah. Yes. And that is the other side that we forgot, because they've been mainly sold out until today. So there are tastings available for our stores in Mullingar and in Athlone as well. So they're available on winesdirect.ie. So if you go to winesdirect.ie and click the events tab on the top right-hand side, you will see that there are events there for ticket tastings.
€20.
For 20 quid, yeah. Good night out.
So, Red Curious is called Bender Pinot Noir.
Correct.
And it is very warming, I have to say. I know you can't.
No, but it smells amazing again. And the colour of it. Like, I think it looks very, very appealing.
Yeah.
Very much so.
It is appealing. Anyway, our final series. I don't have a clip, unfortunately.
You don't?
So over to you.
Over to me. Are you going to give me a clue what that is? Because I have several.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm good to
talk. Murders.
Oh, the Murdaw Murders on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay. I have been following it. Have you guys seen it? Are you familiar with the case?
It's a real life story.
Oh, it's a real life story. This is a docuseries. It's season 2 that's out now. So if you haven't seen it, you do have 2 seasons to binge, which is very nice, because it is, and it's a current case, you know, so that's why there was that pause in the docuseries. But I am a true crime junkie. I love it. I love everything about docuseries. I actually, so much so that I find it hard to watch actual movies and stuff now, because I like the true crime stuff, or I like documentary. But so season 1 is basically about this chap who, they're a really, really rich kind of generational wealth family of lawyers in America, and their son goes out in a boat one night, because they have boats, you know. It's like, let's go down the bayou in a boat, like, no bother. So they all head off on a boat anyway, and they have an accident and a girl gets killed. But it's kind of the sinister covering up of what happened and all of this stuff. And you think that's bad enough, but then this man comes home to find that his wife and son have been shot dead on their property, and then he ends up shot himself, and it's crazy, but it's one to sink your teeth into. And there's podcasts on this, there's tons of stuff online, so if you start into it and you fall down a rabbit hole, I apologise in advance, but it's so worth it.
I really liked it because I found it fascinating, because it's not true crime for me can be a bit too much sometimes, like going to blood and gore and all that, and it goes in and what if and what if and what if, and then they go down a crazy rabbit hole that's nothing to do with fact. But this is about, as I said, intergenerational family, and they are corrupt as hell.
Yeah,
they really are, and it's just it's like peeling back an onion. They essentially, it was like this backwater, for want of a better word, down in the United States, but they ran everything. They had their fingers in every pie, and this was going on for about 3 generations, and this current person who's up on charges at this moment in time, he managed to bring it all crashing down around his head. But as soon as, like, everyone was afraid to say anything against them, so as soon as things started falling, all of a sudden these people coming out of their work, and it's not just him, it's intergenerational, it's fascinating.
It was kind of a grandiose fashion that it happened, because it gets unbelievable, and it is, like you said, it's all fact, but it's like, sorry, what? Like, what bad luck for one gentleman to have. But it is that, it's that, this woven corruption through generations of this family, and how one person putting a foot wrong. And for me, it comes down to more the family name. It's like, protect this name at any cost. And it's like, this is wild. But
as a viewer, do you end up taking on some of their baggage? In other words, is it a heavy watch?
It's actually the cinematography, how it's shot and everything, is actually quite good and just factual, and it's not, doesn't play on the emotions very much. No, it's not. Like, I found with Making a Murderer, for example, that was very, now, as it transpires, it was somewhat biased, but so they were manipulating you into being super emotionally attached to this. This doesn't do that. Is it Gar?
Yeah.
Gar said, it is just facts. but it's fascinating because it's
and if
just
you,
so...
if you actually made up a film where like and wrote somebody wrote these this script, you go you've jumped the shark here.
You really have
gone too far, but it is so fascinating.
Spielberg would have been like, no thanks,
it just kept on getting worse and worse, and you're just like the jaw is hitting the floor.
And the fact that it's current, that you can actually still follow this, I love that because it keeps me. I hate to say entertained because it's macabre. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean,
yeah, sometimes morbidity can be entertaining.
Morbid curiosity and me are very akin.
I can't help but feeling slightly left out that I haven't seen this. So it's kind of a great thing. This is kind of like when they have the leader in The Simpsons. That cult. I kind of feel like I need to join this.
We've convinced you.
I'm going to get my tinfoil hat out and I'm going to really just.
You won't need it. It's not that type now. As much as I love a good conspiracy, there's none of that in this.
Great. I also have to mention one more thing is that we're doing an Instagram live tonight at 7 p.m. With one of our winemakers from Elias Morrow. Is that correct?
Yes. No. Mastangill.
Oh, so from Mastangill. Sorry, from Puirat. Laura is just going to kill me for all the things that I've been wrong so far today.
And like, I'm talking about a cult.
My watch keeps on buzzing with texts from Laura saying, why did you say that?
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Yeah, I turned off my phone and I'm not listening.
Winesdirect.ie. Check them out on socials and you'll be able to follow all the updates. And a request from Caroline. Next time you're here, could you do a piece on non-alcoholic whites?
We don't have any non-alcoholic whites at this moment in time or any non-alcoholic wines.
But we can talk through the reasons why.
And then
there are some great alternatives to think about when it comes to, you know, the reason for having non-alcoholic alcohol or wine in general. But yeah, we can certainly delve into
some great non-alcoholic beers.
I would be interested in that. As we all know, I don't drink alcohol. Don't worry, I
make up for you.
Yeah, you do. Chin. However, these have been very tempting. So it's like, well, if these were de-alcoholized, I would certainly partake.
And you see, that's the thing, is de-alcoholizing. They have to put them in the center of a centrifuge and come in and sort of the whole.
So it changes the whole profile. So we're getting a lesser product. Yeah.
And chemicals and everything else.
Bit of a teaser of what we'll talk about next time. I'm curious on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The process involved. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for having us.
So Gareth and Gavin Kill from Wines Direct in Athlone, Mullingar, and at winesdirect.ie. And Lynn Berry, thank you. Sinead Hubble put it all together. Back on your radio tomorrow morning from 9. Take care. Bye-bye.
Midlands Today with Bus Éireann. Use your TFI Young Adult or Student Leap Card on board Bus Éireann services as part of the Transport for Ireland network. Visit busairin.ie today.